Welcome to Feeding the Flock and our expositions through the book of Revelation. We are currently in chapter 8 at verse 7. Hi there, I'm Glendale Toney. I'm glad you joined me today for this Bible study. Let's begin reading for the sake of the context at verse 6 of chapter 8 in the book of Revelation, where John writes this. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire, mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from the heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So this is the beginning of these trumpet judgments upon the earth. And of course, some of these ideas, or at least some of these things, are referred to in the previous judgments. But we believe that these are all happening in a sequential order. Now, we don't know exactly the dates or the timing of how long in between each one or how long each one lasted. Perhaps it lasted longer than its mere opening or its mere sounding. And yet it is the opening or the sounding of these judgments that cause them to begin and cause them to make an impact, even though there may be parts of these judgments that will continue on to their complete fulfillment, perhaps later on, weeks later, or days later, or maybe even years later, they would perpetuate themselves. Once they had begun, that is. But let's begin with that first trumpet, because this, of course, is the beginning of seven trumpets that were begun when the Lamb opened that seventh seal of that document. So the seventh seal then opens up these seven trumpets. And in the previous episode, we ended with these angels preparing themselves to sound. It's like an alertness or an attention, a tin hut sort of a call, where they place the trumpets to through their mouths, and yet they do not yet sound. There's just that moment. And so I felt it was important for us to begin our reading today at verse 6, even though our exposition starts in verse 7. And it says, the first one sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. This is a strange phenomenon, of course, that this somehow falls out of the sky. We may be accustomed with hail in its form of water, but the fact that hail also would come and accompany with fire, that's a very unique situation. And yet Joel, in his prophecy, in Joel chapter 2 about the day of the Lord. He says, I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. But what's interesting is in Joel chapter 2, that's verses 30 and 31, but in verse 32, it says, and it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. So there's always this moment of grace or this moment of mercy that God has extended to the people, even in the midst of these judgments. And that is, of course, what will happen in some cases, but the general trend is this sequence of judgments, and the first trumpet calls forth this special kind of hail, and there is some sort of fire accompanying it, and there is also something mixed with blood. We don't know exactly where that came from. Maybe it was coming from some of the previous judgments. We don't know. That blood got mixed in with this hail and fire as well. But they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So that this is a fire judgment. And that's exactly what was promised in terms of what Jesus would do. He came to bring fire upon the earth, even though he did not do any of that during his first career, first half of his career on earth as a human being. He came then to die for our sins. He came then to teach and instruct and to guide us in the grace of God and to proclaim that grace. And yet here he is opening these seven seals, and the seventh seal includes these trumpets. And the first trumpet has to do with fire, and a great amount of fire. In fact, these are thousands and thousands of acres of fire. And even though the mercy is actually shown in the fact that God holds back that only a third of the trees and a third of the earth was burned, and yet all the green grass was burned up. Now realize that when grass is burned off the surface, that much of the time, it doesn't take really very long for grass to green up again and to regrow. And those of us who live around segments of agriculture where they burn off a field, and yet or they burn off the grass or the leaves, and then what do you know, it still comes back. So this is not an ending kind of a judgment. This is a preliminary kind of a judgment, and even though it looks pretty stark with the fact that the green grass gets burned up. And then the second angel sounds, and it says something like a great mountain burning. Again, this is a fire judgment. Burning with fire was thrown into the sea. This has a different kind of a context and a different kind of a consequence, is what I intended to say. And this particular fire into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. This evidently has something to do with the miracle, perhaps, of just turning the sea to blood directly, or this may have to do with the killing of sea life in salt water, that sea life, that ocean life, a third of it died, and because of the blood that was of these expired creatures on the surface or in the water caused the water to turn as blood. Of course, we know that God is capable of doing something like that because of what happened in the Nile River and in Egypt. It says there in Exodus chapter 7 that Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through all the land of Egypt. So we find here that God just miraculously turns the water into blood, even though this he has that capability, or perhaps this is a consequence of something else that was going on in the water. The point is that this is still only a third. This is showing God's mercy, even in the midst of what we would consider to be these awesome kind of dramatic events. Still yet, God is holding back. He's not completely destroying everything all at once. He is letting it out in stages and phases, you might say. And so a third of the creatures in the sea that had life, it died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So in many regards, this is this affects maritime commercial enterprise in many regards, because if there are close to 90,000 ocean-going vessels that was estimated at one time, that would mean 30,000 ships would be lost at sea because of this particular judgment. That's very dramatic, and that would surely cause some to call out to the Lord. But that is not the concern at the moment, even though it may be later on. But it says then in verse 10, the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Again, this is a fire kind of a judgment. Now, earlier in the earlier judgments of the seals, we had this sixth seal that included things like this, very similar to this one in chapter 6 of verse 12 of a book of Revelation, where John writes, I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when it was shaken by the great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And of course, there's a consequence there that the kings cried out, may the rocks just fall on us and end it now, because this is horrible. Well, it may be horrible, and they may have cried out earlier because of how dramatic that was in terms of involving the sky itself and the stars and the moon and the sun, that somehow its light was blocked out and it was distorted, and somehow the stars were as well, that all of these cosmic kind of things now involve again these things, but it involves the great star from heaven. We don't know whether or not this was an actual star, or it might have been a bomb for all I know, but it does have fire, like a burning like a torch, and it fell, and a third of the rivers on the springs of waters. These are the freshwater sources become judged by this particular judgment. Well, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. So we find here in verse 10 that that even on top of the great mountain that evidently was this huge volcanic action, where this great mountain itself, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea, And now this great star fell out of heaven, and so it gets worse. It doesn't get better. This gets worse. In fact, this kind of star, this meteor or this asteroid or whatever it is humongous, evidently, and it affects a third of the waters. These are the fresh waters now, the rivers and the springs of waters, and the name of the star, this star has a name. It's called Wormwood. Now, this is a biblical name for this star, and it says a third of the waters became Wormwood, and Wormwood is in the Greek word, actually the English is pronounced absinthus, and it's a very bitter kind of a plant or a product, you might say, and yet it is a common plant that might be called wormwood today. Also, in Europe, there's a plant that's called the mugwort, and in the USA, there's a plant similar to that that's called sagebrush. Now, whether or not that has something to do with this, except for the name, I don't know. But it does say that because of this particular action, this particular judgment doesn't cause fire, it caused bitterness to occur in the waters, in the fresh waters. So these are the waters that actually affect mankind and the animals and everything else that drinks water. And it says many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Now, this is the exact opposite of what Moses did for the waters at Meribah, or Mara, that is, where there was bitter water to start with, and Moses changed it to waters that became sweet and was drinkable. This is exactly the opposite here. Now, we know that earlier in the fourth seal, there was the ashen horse, and there was death, and Hades were following after him. And there, authority was given over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. So we know that these judgments happen in sort of increments, and some things are affected and some things are not affected. Some things are carried out in percentages and fractions, you might say. And the fourth seal had affected a fourth of the earth, and now this is a third of the earth, and it says that many men died. It doesn't say how many, but they died because of drinking this water that had become bitter. Now, some people have theorized that this may have been water that came from radioactivity, perhaps because of a nuclear disaster or a nuclear bomb. But that isn't quite clear from the passage, but it is likely, or at least a part of what we could imagine that could be a fulfillment. By the way, the name wormwood or absinthus in the Greek, in the Ukrainian word for wormwood is the name Chernobyl, and Chernobyl actually it was the name of a nuclear reactor that went astray, that basically had a disaster and burned up and melted, and that was in 1986. So that gives us at least a sort of a picture of what this might involve, even though Chernobyl itself in 1986. Was not a fulfillment of this judgment, but it sure shows you how this judgment could actually play out in modern terms or in modern situation. And you need to remember that John, writing as a first century author, is using, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, he is using his own vocabulary that he is familiar with to describe events and things that he's not familiar familiar with. He's not seen this kind of thing before. And especially if it does involve what we would consider to be modern technology involved or modern type warfare involved, then he has no experience and no vocabulary that he could use from his own language to describe things that are beyond description, you might say, from his perspective. And so we need to at least accommodate the fact that John could be using words and language of appearance, and that is this might be modern kind of things that would be happening, but he can only describe them in terms that he's familiar with. And so it says that then in chapter chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck." Now, we already found out that there had been already a judgment that affected the sky. It affected the stars and the sun and the moon in some ways. Now, this fourth trumpet affects the cosmic things around the earth that earthlings depend upon, and yet it affects it in a new way, in a different way, and a more intensive way in some regards. And so when the fourth angel sounded, a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. So now it affects them in terms of maybe by the light power or the energy maybe diminished, or the time of the day may not be as long, or whatever. But these things definitely impact the earth and the men and women of the earth, the human beings and the plant life and the animal life on the earth. Anything that drinks water, anything that gets its energy from the sun, all of those things are going to be impacted greatly. Will it end up in repentance or not? I don't know. But there was one of the plagues upon Egypt that was darkness. In fact, it was a darkness upon Egypt which could be felt. That's the way it was described in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Joel himself prophesies evidently about these very same things, because he says in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain, and let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn is spread over the mountains, so there is a great and mighty people. There has never been anything like it. There will, nor will there be again after it, to the years of many generations." These things are happening, and they're happening when this fourth trumpet is sounded. And it again, this may take time to actually carry it out. It may not be an instantaneous kind of thing. It may develop over a period of time so that this becomes the consequences. So it begins with the fourth angel sounding, and that's what happens. It diminished by a third, and that's less than what we would expect, of course, because God is still showing his mercy, and because he would just as easily destroy the whole thing in a moment, and yet he chooses not to. He wants it to be dramatic enough, evidently, to still bring people to repentance. And yet, what's interesting is if we find something in the parallel of the Exodus and the book of Exodus in chapter 8, verse 7, it says, the magicians of Egypt did some of the same things that Moses and Aaron did. And yet there came a time in verse 18 of chapter 8 of Exodus, it says, the magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. Why they would want to multiply more gnats than ever, I don't know. But they tried it anyway with their own magic arts. And it says, but they could not, so there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians, verse 19, said to Pharaoh, now look at this observation. This is the finger of God, but Pharaoh's heart was darkened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. So you see, just because a miracle is a miracle, just because people recognize it as a source coming from God himself, that still does not bring repentance. And even though we would like to think that if a miracle happened or some judgment of great consequence and great amount of drama and great amount of a traumatic experience among mankind, that you would expect them to say, yes, Lord, yeah, and we repent. We realize we're not in control. We realize that we cannot control the atmosphere or the sun or the moon or the stars. We cannot control heat from the sun or the energy from the sun or the stars. We cannot control any of this. This is out of our control. This is you involved. What's interesting is, it may be God in control, and they may recognize that God is in control and behind all these judgments, but they still turn their back upon him. That still does not lead them to repentance. And that's the reason why God sends forth at the end of this fourth trumpet, he sends out an eagle, it says. This is some sort of an angel or some sort of a creature that looks like an eagle, and he's flying in mid-heaven, and he's giving this warning. This is a warning of woe, and that means alas, alas. It means grief in some regards. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, because the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So the worst is not over. There is more coming, and what is coming is not less. It's more. It's more intense. It's more graphic. It is more impactful upon the things and the people and the life upon the earth. And basically, he's saying, be prepared, because these next three trumpets are going to be worse than the first four. And that's what we'll find in the later passages and the later episodes, in which we will cover chapter 9, 10, and 11. Let's pray. Father, we need your sustenance. We need your strength. We need your mercy and your grace. Long before these things transpire, we want to get our hearts right with you and to trust that Jesus took our sins upon that cross in the past so that we could be cleansed from our sins. We could be set right with you. We could have eternal life because of what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. So we repent of our sins, and we come to him with saving faith, asking you to cause us to be born anew. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you enjoyed our presentation today. This is Glendale Toney. Join us again for the next episode of Feeding the Flock.